Father, thank you for getting each and every woman here today, Lord. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you are trying to teach us this weekend, Lord. May our hearts be flexible and pliable and moldable, Lord, to follow you wherever you call us to go, Lord. We want to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. So teach us how to do that this weekend. Teach us how to take that first step. Help us not to lean upon our own understanding, Lord, but to acknowledge you and trust that you will direct each one of our steps and our path, Lord. Thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path that shows us the way. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness, because you are God, you are sovereign, and you are faithful. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us with your everlasting love. And thank you for calling us your child. And thank you for all your promises that are yes and amen. And most importantly, thank you that you're always there and you meet us right where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay. I feel like I'm really loud. Am I okay? I'm good? Okay. That's what you say now until I get going, right? Glasses? Okay. Hopefully my font is big enough and I can see. This is how it is in Bible study. It takes a whole team to put me together. They have to help me find my glasses, and I'm like, where are my glasses? Someone calmly will say, they're on your head. I need something to drink. And somebody runs up and refreshes me with a cool splash of water. So thank you for your patience and your kindness and your grace toward me. So we are in Hebrews 11, verse 21. The scripture will maintain on the screen, but we're going to kind of park in Genesis 48. In Hebrews 11, 21, by faith, when he was dying, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. It has been said that though the grace of faith is of universal use throughout our whole lives, yet it is especially so when we come to die. Faith has its great work to do at last, to help believers finish well, to die to the Lord so as to honor him by patience, hope, and joy, so as to leave a witness behind them of a truth, the truth of God's word, and the excellency of his ways, for the conviction and the establishment of all that attend them in their dying moments. And that's from Matthew Henry. I'm going to speak about Jacob's faith. Jacob's faith was firm when he was dying. He did not pour out complaints. He poured out blessings. Jacob's story is found in Genesis chapters 25 all the way to chapter 50. And Jacob was one of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament. Jacob's greatness was not based upon his personal character, but upon the greatness of God. So get that? It wasn't on Jacob's greatness, but it was the greatness of God. God. Because at times, Jacob was a schemer, a liar, and a manipulator. Jacob is just like us, trying to please God, but we often fall short by trying to take control of the situation. We try and walk God across the street like a little old lady. Jacob was the youngest twins born to Isaac and Rebekah. And I personally gave birth to twins, and the first one who came out was called Twin A. So this Twin A that came out all red and hairy. They named him Esau, which means all red and hairy. And then came Twin B. Now, Twin B, he was grasping onto the heel of his brother. They named him Jacob. Jacob means heel grasper, or he deceives. Dun, 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 dun. Jacob grabbed Esau's heel at birth, and by the time he fled home, he had also grabbed the birthright and blessing. Jacob is the one who inherited the birthright. He is the one to carry on the seed of the Messiah and the promise given to Abraham and Isaac. Jacob is promised a land, a nation, and a blessing, even as Abraham was. But wait, there's more. There's a dream. There's a wedding. There's deception. There's wives. There's maidservants. There's births. And then there's a pivotal wrestling match with God where Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Of all the events in Jacob's life, the author of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 21, focuses on Jacob's final days. This was a death scene. So we're going to look at three things that we see in that verse. By faith, when Jacob was dying, we find him blessing, worshiping, and leaning. Blessing, worshiping, and leaning. Genesis 48, blessing. To bless is to make holy, ask a divine favor. It's the act of invoking divine protection or aid. Jacob's life story centers on blessing. He's either seeking a blessing, receiving a blessing, blessing others, leaving a blessing as a legacy to his descendants. A father conveys to his heir a blessing that is permanent. It cannot be withdrawn. A blessing is a prayer or a prophecy. The blessing is often done by laying on of hands. So let's look at chapter 48 of Genesis. The very first part of that verse, 48:1a. Now it came to pass after these things. Oh man, what things? Well, we get to go up to chapter 47, and we're going to kind of hover over verses 27 through 31. Genesis 47, verses 27, 31. Israel, another name of Jacob, makes Joseph, his son, a vow to bury him in Canaan, not Egypt. So we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph. Joseph was the firstborn son of Jacob and Rachel. He was the favorite son, and his brothers were jealous, so they told Joseph. They sold Joseph into slavery. Joseph ended up in Egypt through circumstances in Egypt. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. During the time of a severe famine, Joseph's family left Canaan, and they traveled to Egypt for shelter and provision under Jacob's care. Joseph vows to bury Jacob in Canaan. Genesis 47, 29 through 30. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. That might make you go, huh? Well, that was just a way of making a vow, making a promise. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have asked. So by faith, Jacob asked Joseph to be buried in Egypt. And he trusts that Joseph will keep his word and Jacob will be buried in Canaan. As Jacob was nearing death, he wanted to get a few important things in order. His faith is clear. He believed and he understood that he was the inheritor of the covenant that was given to Abraham by God. Israel knew that Egypt was not his home. He belonged in the land that was promised to him by God. He was not to be buried in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of this world. We believers are not of this world. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Back to Genesis chapter 48, 1 through 2. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And so Joseph strengthened himself in the Lord. And it says here, and Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Jacob here begins to share his personal testimony and the promise of God in verses 3 and 4. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. The New Testament commentary on the promises made to Jacob and the others in the Hall of Faith is found in Hebrews 11:13. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from far off. We're assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The sons of Joseph may have heard these stories before from their dad, but there's nothing more powerful than hearing the testimony of a 147-year-old grandfather about the faithfulness of God. The boys Manasseh and Ephraim are being raised by their mom. She's the daughter of an Egyptian priest. These boys needed to hear the story of their grandfather's faith. The ministry of grandparenting should never be underestimated. Verses 5 and 6, chapter 48. We're going to see Jacob blessing Joseph. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in Egypt, are mine as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine. Your offspring, who you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. In the Near East, the firstborn was to receive a double portion of the father's inheritance, with each of the other sons receiving a single portion. This helped to ensure that the firstborn would have wealth and prominence as the leader of the family. Jacob's firstborn was Reuben. But since he defiled his father's marriage bed, the rights of the firstborn belong to Joseph. In this scene, verses 5 and 6, Jacob is declaring that instead of Joseph getting a single share of Jacob's inheritance, that he would receive a double inheritance. Ephraim and Manasseh are to be considered Jacob's sons by adoption. When we come to Jesus, we are born again. The Bible says we become a child of God through adoption. Romans 8, 14, 17a. Romans 8, 14, 17a. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs in Christ. Back to Genesis 48. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 12. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And that's just kind of a way of saying, "What do we have here?" And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me. I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so he couldn't see. Then Joseph brought them near, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring." See, there was a time when Jacob believed that Joseph was dead, because that's what he was told. And here he sees his son face to face, not just Joseph, but Joseph's children. Our God is an awesome, faithful God who meets the desires of our heart. So Joseph brought them from behind his knees and bowed down with his face to the earth. What a beautiful sight the sons of Joseph witnessed as their own father, Joseph, he was the second in command of all Egypt. He bowed before his elderly father, Jacob, showing reverence, honor, respect, and love. And I believe that Joseph knew that his father heard and hears from God. As Joseph rises, he brings the boys to Jacob for a blessing. So Joseph, you know, arranges it. So the older one is by, you know, Jacob's right hand, and the younger one is by his left hand. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right, and brought them near to him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Well, well, well. Joseph was not pleased. This blessing was not going the way Joseph wanted. I'm sure he thinks his elderly father is just a bit confused. So Joseph tries to help Jacob out. Joseph takes his father's right hand and he tries to move it from Ephraim's head onto the older Manasseh's head as to correct his father's confusion. But guess what? His father wasn't confused. His father was hearing from the Lord, and he was following the direction that was given to him through God. Now, when Joseph saw this, did I read it already? Did I read verses 17 through 18? Oh, great, thanks. Thank you. See, we need each other. I am just so nervous about this teaching. Can I just go? Can you guys do it with me? Okay, we good? I'm good. And I'm talking, and my tongue is sticking, and my lips are I'm disgusting right now. So I just have to be real, okay? And this light is shining in my face. I can't see my notes. And my brain is misfiring. Thank you for your prayers. Okay, where are we?
17.
Okay, 17 and 18. Thank you. It felt so good to get that off my chest. Sometimes you just got to be you, and this is me, okay? Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." The right hand is a symbol of power and authority. 19 and 20. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, he should become a people. He also shall be great, But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendant shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And then he set Ephraim before Manasseh. He took the younger and blessed him first. Jacob may be old, he was dying, and his eyes were dim, but by faith he passed on the blessing, and by faith he had hope in the eternal life to come. He had hope in the promises to come. Jacob blessed by faith and not by sight. We too are called to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Do I hear amen? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, but for a moment. I know it doesn't seem like that, but it's a promise. You either believe it's true or you don't. But for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. A house not made with man's hands, eternal in heaven. So our afflictions are but for a but with Christ we have eternity in heaven because of his great love for us, that he would send his son to die on the cross and shed his blood for our transgressions. Chapter 5 of the where we're at, verses 7 and 8. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes. Are you confident? Yes. Is your inner core confident? Yes. We are confident, well pleased. Rather, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. In Jacob's blessing, what we've talked about a little bit, we see Jacob worshiping. So the second thing we're going to look at is worship, worshiping. Worship is to show love, devotion, adoration, honor, reverence, gratitude, and humility to God. And all I could think about with the forest and the trees, because I have this real thing about ruby red slippers and that this place is not our home, so my brain clicks to The Wizard of Oz, where they're going, lions and tigers and bear, come on! And at first they start out really, you know, timid and afraid. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my! But the more that they put a little happy tune and a little skip in there, lions and tigers and bears, oh my! Lions and tigers and bears, oh my! And they get themselves on the path through the forest. So whatever are your lions and your tigers and your bears that make you go, oh my! Get your focus off of those circumstances and take that step of faith and start with a little hum. I use this one. Then I go, The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let me pray. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I'm not focusing on those lions and those tigers and those bears. So worship. Jacob worshiped by faith. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, like a loop from your heart to your brain to your mouth. Your heart to your brain to your mouth. Don't let that loop break from your heart to your brain to your mouth. Continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. For this is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And we know we're to give thanks in all circumstances. We can't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I want this one, let those others go. In all circumstances, we are to give thanks and praise to God. So looking back at Genesis 48, 15 through 16, we see worship in the blessing. And we're going to kind of hover over 15 and 16 here. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked. Here, in this blessing, Jacob acknowledges the true God of his fathers. He acknowledges the true God of his fathers. Secondly, we find him giving thanks for God's provision. The God who fed me all my life long to this day. And the cool thing about these couple of words, the God who fed me, it refers to God being a shepherd. And then my brain kicks in through the Holy Spirit, because I don't really have a brain. If I only had a brain, that's another Wizard of Oz reference. The 23rd Psalm, verse 1a, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Again, another promise that you shall want for nothing. Just like Jacob said here, the God who fed me all my life long to this day, God is faithful to provide. Next, we see humility. Jacob was humbled by an angel who protected and saved him from all evil. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil. He worshiped and he was thankful and he was humble for that protection. The next one is love. He then says, bless the lads, let my name be upon them and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Again, that adoption. That love of the father, bringing the children into the family and giving them an inheritance. And by faith, lastly, because all true worship must be in faith. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, this hasn't happened yet, but by faith, he believed and he worshiped. Jacob had a worshiping faith. His whole life had been changed by the grace and mercy of God. He had been given a new name, he'd been given a new nature, and he'd been given a new purpose. Finally, we see as Jacob was worshiping, he was leaning. The third thing, he was leaning. Leaning means to rest or to rely for comfort or support. As Jacob was dying, he held onto his staff, which showed his authority as head of his family, and gives honor to God. Jacob leaning on the top of his staff may mean that he was remembering all that God had done for him. God's promises, God's faithfulness, and as he was leaning, he worshiped. In Jacob's great weakness, he leaned on top of his staff. To adore God, to be strengthened by God, to be comforted by God, to remember, and to worship. Jacob spent a lot of his life leaning on his own understanding, But as he grew in his faith, he acknowledged the Lord and allowed God to direct his steps. A.W. Pink says this: having secured from Joseph that his will should be carried out, Jacob bowed before God in worship. For now he realized the Lord was making good the promise recorded in Genesis 46:4. In his great weakness, he had bowed toward his bed's head as to adore God, completing now his representation of reverence and faith by leaning upon the top of his staff. In that emblematic action, he signified his complete dependence upon God, testified to his condition as a pilgrim in this earth, and emphasized the weariness of the world and his readiness to part from it. He praised God for all he had done for him and for the approaching prospect of everlasting bliss. Blessed is it to find the Holy Spirit's final word about Jacob in Scripture depicts him in an act of worship. Hebrews 11:21, by faith, when Jacob was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. Jesus says in John 11, verses 25, 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Remember the great news that death is swallowed up by what Jesus did on the cross, swallowed up in victory by the blood, and we can have life. And whoever loves and believes, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now think about that. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And here comes the question. Do you believe this? There's a section in Jacob's life in chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. Genesis 32, 22 through 32. And this is where we find Jacob wrestling with God. And some of us may be wrestling with things in our own lives. You may be wrestling with who God is. You may be wrestling about a situation that you're in the midst of. You may be wrestling about how God could let this, that, or the other happen to you. You have questions. Take them to the Lord. God says to Jacob, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is now preserved. Have you seen God face to face? Is your life preserved in the blood that was shed for you? Do you believe? Are you blessing? Not just a achoo blessing, but really blessing the Lord for what comes your way day to day, moment by moment, breath by breath? Are you worshiping him through it? Are you leaning upon the staff? And for me, the staff represents the cross, or leaning in the everlasting arms of Jesus. Do you believe? About 15 months ago, my son, his faith became sight, and he is with Jesus. To be absent in the body is to be present from the Lord. And he was part of Lee the Messenger, and Pastor Gabe wrote a song about Jacob wrestling with the Lord. So I would like you, as you search yourself and ask yourself, what am I willing to let go of? What am I willing to take my hands off of? What am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to be broken? Because the Lord can't use you unless you are broken and contrite in spirit. His fragrance cannot be an aroma if you're not broken. So just take this time, focus on the words, bow your hearts and your head and your mind, and ask the Lord, what am I wrestling with? What am I wrestling with? And then after this song is over, I'm going to encourage you to pick up all of your things. Every piece of paper, every Starbucks cup, and clean your table so that they can prepare lunch for us at 12 o'clock. Because you get the opportunity after this song to meet face to face with God. Do not waste it by going to your room and turning on the TV. Do not waste that precious time by talking about where you ate last night and where you're going to eat later. Our Heavenly Father wants to sup with you. He wants to spend time with you. Do you know that each one of you has someone that loves you so much? He loves you. He's crying out to spend time with you. Seek Him with all your heart. You will not be disappointed. But I can guarantee you will be tempted to talk to your friends as you go out the door. You're going to say, where am I going to go? Where are you going to go? Oh, let's go get a drink. Please, quietly, after this is over, pick up your things and go seek Jesus. The study is right here. It'll take about 60 minutes. And the title is Personal Quiet Time. It's between you and the Lord. Make time to seek His face, and He will show you great and mighty things. If you are brokenhearted, He's close to the brokenhearted. If you need comfort, He will comfort you through the power of the Spirit in His world. Trust Him. Trust Him.
Dark and Jacob finally when he went away to go and meet the Lord. When Jacob went, he stood beside the quiet river bank, beside the river shore. The angel of the Lord. That night he prayed and waited, pleaded, cried out to the Lord. Not leave him alone. Don't leave without your blessing me. Don't leave me here, oh Lord. Don't leave me here alone. Thank you.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God, one mediator between God and the man, Christ Jesus. So it's a relationship, and with relationship comes trust, and with trust comes love and all this stuff. As we begin to trust the Lord, Jesus says, come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. But I want to share something from Psalms 146, and it says, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, I tell myself. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God even with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When their breathing stops, they return to the earth, and in a moment all their plans come to an end. But happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He is the one who keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts the burden of those bent beneath their loads. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphan and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. O Jerusalem, your God is king in every generation. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that we are just passing through this place. I thank you, Lord, that you give us just what we need. Lord, continue to fill us up with more of you, and may we see eternity in our eyes, as it's been said in your word, that you have set eternity in our hearts. Help us not to fill that hole that is only desiring eternity with other things, Lord. As we sit at your feet, help us to surrender things that hinder us from seeing you more clearly, from seeing the eternal perspective, Lord. And I thank you that I have a deposit in heaven, and I cannot wait to first hug you and then see my son. And I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't have that confidence and that assurance that when they are absent from this body, that they are present in your sight. I pray that as they spend time crying out to you, that you meet them in a supernatural, awesome way. May we bless. May we worship when we can't even see through our tears, but worship with our heart. And may we lean upon you, the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith. Reveal your love to us, Lord. Help us to receive it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.